Like three of you. Okay, are we ready? Yes. Whew, I knew you guys were there. I knew it. Here we go. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How many guys believe that this morning? Amen. I certainly believe that. I'm trying to believe that more and more, trying to put more and more of my life, my trust, my hope, my faith in Jesus, trying to allow him to direct every part of my life, going to him first, and living this faith life. It's not easy, is it? Not all the time. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But before we can transform our lives, before we can transform the ordinary that we regard as our own human limitations, before we can do that, we first have to learn some things about faith. Jesus spoke in the most extreme, the most outlandish terms concerning faith. If you want to find somebody who was extreme in his beliefs about faith, somebody who was extreme about what could be done by faith, then you shouldn't look any further than Jesus. He spoke in the most amazing ways about the possibilities of faith. See, when faith is at work in the believer's life, Jesus says in Mark 9:23 that all things are possible. Isn't that pretty amazing? Jesus said that. When we allow faith to work in our lives, when we incorporate faith, this idea of living by faith in our lives, Jesus says that all things are possible. And this is true for the simple reason that faith connects us connects our potential with those extreme possibilities that God has, the extreme possibilities of God. And so we're talking about faith, and we first started talking about, we were starting by looking at what Jesus teaches about faith. And so last 2 weeks, we were looking at the book of Matthew. Today, we are going to look at the book of Mark. We are going to start in the book of Mark today. We are going to be in the book of Mark for at least another week after this, maybe 2 weeks. God really slowed me down this week. So we're going to get as far as we can. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start there. Mark chapter 5. You guys have your Bibles? Mark chapter 5. If you don't have your Bibles, pull out your phone app. If you don't have a phone app, it certainly will be up on the screen. Mark chapter 5, starting in... Mark chapter 5, starting in the fifth chapter. That was weird. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21. And it says this. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her so that she may be made well." And he went with them. Now pause there for a moment. We met a couple weeks ago a man of great faith in the centurion. You guys remember the centurion? He was the one who said, "No, Jesus, you don't have to come to myself. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed." Now here we meet a man. He is the ruler of the synagogue. And he doesn't say, "Just speak a word." Rather, he is insistent that Jesus come with him to his house to heal his daughter. His daughter who is at the point of death. Now in this case, is Jesus capable? As far as the ability of Jesus is. I mean, could he have merely spoke a word and healed this little girl? Absolutely. Of course he could have. But that wasn't where this man's faith was at. See, what we're going to learn is that Jesus meets us at our point of faith. That this man required Jesus to come to the house and lay hands on his daughter in order for this little girl to be healed. It says in verse 23 that he implored him earnestly. The King James says that he begged Jesus, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed and thronged about him. See, Jesus has been gone from Capernaum for a while. And now he returns. Capernaum is his home base. It is his headquarters. It's the place where Jesus lives, the place where he resides. And so he's been gone for a while, and he gets back. As soon as he gets back there, there are all sorts of people who have all sorts of problems, and they are all thronging him. They are pressing up against him. They are tugging on him. They are pulling on his clothes. And they all want Jesus' attention so that Jesus can come and fix their needs. So Jesus can come and help them with their problems. And Jairus, it seems, is more insistent than the others. Maybe it's because he is someone in a key position. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any case, he got Jesus' attention first. Jesus says, all right, I will go to your house and I will heal your daughter. And so they are on their way to heal his daughter, and there is an interruption. Now, Jesus is going to get back to healing Jairus' daughter, but there is an interruption that happens. It says in verse 25, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Now, this is the ESV version. The NIV says she was subject to blood. The NLT says she suffered with constant bleeding, but the original King James says she had an issue of blood. And I kind of like that word, issue. You know why? Because we all have issues, don't we? Right? Each and every one of us has issues that have the potential to cause misery in our life. There are financial issues. There are relational issues. There are emotional issues that cause us great distress. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're suffering from some sort of emotional rejection or some sort of fear. Maybe there's a fear that's plagued your mind. See, we all have all kinds of issues. There's all sorts of issues that have the potential to cause misery, have the potential to make our lives miserable. And this woman had an issue, right? Verse 26, and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here's this woman. She has a condition. It is chronic. She has had it for 12 years. She's gone to the doctors and they've done their best, but she's still suffering. Now I need to say this, that believing that Jesus can heal you does not mean that you don't believe in doctors. I say that because there is a segment of the Christian church that believes if you believe that Jesus can heal, then you don't believe in doctors, or you don't believe in hospitals, or you don't believe in medication, or you don't believe in any type of medical care. And to be honest with you, I don't know where they get that from. See, because I believe that doctors are some of the greatest things. You know why? Because they are fighting the same exact battle that we are. But there are people out there who will challenge you on this, and they'll say, so, well, you know, if you believe in healing, why do you wear glasses? You may ever get questions like that. I'll tell you why. Because I'm getting older, and my eyes don't work as well, because my physical body is breaking down, right? Right? I used to be able to run faster than I can right now. Right? Do I need healing? Right? I used to be able to dunk the basketball. Am I sick now because I can't? No, I'm just older and slower and fatter, and I've, you know, lost a bit of jump in my step, right? Right? I'm not sick. This is just how it is. See, but that's not really the main point, is it? Because if I had 28 diseases, I would still believe that Jesus heals. And I would still preach that Jesus heals. You know why? Because that's what the Bible says. See, it's not hypocritical to say that I believe in healing, but there have been times in my life when I have been sick. It simply means that I am a soldier in the battle. And so this woman had been to the doctors, and doctors are great, but they do come to the ends of their ability sometimes, right? Doctors can do more and more every day, but they do have limitations. Now, she has gone to doctors, and she is not any better. In fact, her condition has become worse, and to top it off, now she has run out of money. She is broke. So things have gone from bad to worse. But then, verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus. See, Jesus is now in his second year of ministry. And so there's been plenty of talk going around town about this man named Jesus and all these miracles and all these healings. And so she's hearing how the blind are seeing. She's hearing how the deaf are hearing. She's hearing how the lame are walking. She's hearing all these tremendous reports, and faith comes into her heart. See, here's the truth. Faith comes by hearing. See, something about this woman, that she was able to put two and two together. She was able, she realized that the ministry of Jesus was somehow connected with God, with the will of God. And so she thought, well, if God can heal one, then he can certainly heal another. Right? If God can heal that person, then he can certainly heal me. She believed. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that faith without works is dead. So this woman got to work. Amen? Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So picture this, everybody is thronging him, they are all touching him, they are all shouting his name, everybody is pulling, everybody is tugging on him, everybody wants Jesus' attention. But she didn't do that. She just went up behind him, almost in a, I imagine in kind of a just thinking fashion, just came up behind him and just lightly touched him. I don't know how she deducted that would be her point of faith, but that's what she did. She said this, verse 28, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And so faith came to this woman. She had a faith confession, and she acted on her faith. See, she came, but she didn't demand Jesus' attention. I mean, here's something that's pretty interesting to me. That this woman came and she set the time, she set the place, she set all the parameters for her own miracle. Right? Nobody told her to do that. She established that for herself. She said, you know what, if I can just go up behind him, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. I will be healed. If I can just touch the little hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Then she acted on her faith. And what happened? Verse 29. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Let me teach you how to do a Bible study. Anybody want to learn how to do a Bible study? Let me teach you a little Bible study real quick. Notice in verse 28, it says she said, right? You ever see that? It says she said. If you have your Bible, you're writing your Bibles, go ahead and you can circle that, underline that, whatever you want. It says she said. Now jump down to verse 29. It says, immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt. Right? Go ahead and circle that. She felt. Then draw a line between two. Mark the two together. Point together. Notice how verse 28 comes to verse 29. That she said before she felt. I think this is one of the greatest truths about faith. That you can speak faith even when you don't feel like it. That you can say things by faith that you really don't feel like, but you found it in the word of God, and you know it's a promise from God, so you're going to say the word and not what you feel like saying. See, if you just go through life saying how you feel, all you do is establish yourself in the status quo. But she said something different than what she felt. See, she felt sick, but she said, well, if I can just touch his garment, I will be made well. And then she acted on her faith according to her confession, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. I find that fascinating. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And the disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? Now it's interesting here because, one, Jesus is God, right? How many go, Jesus is God, right? We're good with that. So So he is omniscient. I mean, he knows all, and yet he doesn't know this. See, I find this is awesome because this just tells us how much Jesus truly limited himself when he came in the flesh. That he really said, you know what, I am going to come in the flesh and I am going to limit myself. I'm not going to come as God in the flesh and be able to do all these things on my own. No, I'm going to walk and be like a human and I'm going to show them how you do this in the perfect way. That's pretty amazing. See, what's cool is at this point, there's only one person who knows the whole story, and it's not Jesus. It's definitely not his disciples. See, only this woman knows the whole story. She's the only one who knows that she's sick. She's the only one who knows what her infirmity is. She knows, but she knows that Jesus has the power to heal, and she believes that if she can just touch him, if she can just make contact with him, that she can be healed. And so she comes up behind him, and with the lightest of touch, she touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus didn't know who this woman was. Matter of fact, he didn't even know it was a woman. He didn't know anything about her infirmity. He didn't know anything about their sickness. But he did know what he felt. See, he felt power, the power to heal, being pulled out of him. And he knew something had gotten power from him. And so all of a sudden, Jesus stops. Now remember, they are on the way to Jairus' house to heal this little girl who is dying. And I imagine they are at a rather brisk pace. I can imagine all these people around, and Jairus has Jesus by the hand. He's pulling through the crowd. He's getting people out of the way. And all these people are pushing up against him and pressing and grabbing and tugging and saying, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, just help me. And all these people around, and I imagine there is just this mayhem happening. I mean, can you guys picture that? That Jesus is going through the crowd, and there's just people all around just almost crushing him in, and they're just forcing their way through the crowd. And in the midst of all this confusion, one woman comes up and just touches the piece of his clothing, just the smallest piece of his garment. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" You have to put yourself in the position of disciples. So there's all these people pushing around. Jairus is probably pulling him by the hand, and all these people are touching. All of a sudden, Jesus stops. He says, "Oh, who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What do you mean, Jesus? Everybody is touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? All these people are pushing up against you. All these people are pressing, are thronging against you, and you're saying, who touched me?" And Jesus says, No. I felt power leave me. See, there's something very important to learn here. And that's this, that Jesus made no conscious decision to heal this woman. See, Jesus didn't say, "Well, you know, how much have you been praying? Have you been prayed enough? Are you prayed up enough?" He didn't say, "Well, have you been a good girl this year?" Right? He didn't have a list. He wasn't checking it twice. None of that stuff. He didn't do any of that. Matter of fact, he didn't even know who this woman was. See, this woman established the condition for her own miracle. She said, "You know what? I am going to touch Jesus by faith according to my own confession, and I shall be made whole." And it happened. Jesus felt power going out of him, but he didn't have all the information. He didn't know who it was. He didn't know what really was going on, so he stopped. And he turned around. It says he looked around to see her who had done this thing. So Jesus turns around and he could tell it was her. Something about her face. Something about the way she was acting. Verse 33 says, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling." So she knows that he knows that it's her. And now she's a little afraid, right? See, she didn't know if Jesus was going to be happy or if Jesus was going to be mad. She only knew that she got what she came for. So she came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She says, "Jesus, yeah, I've been sick for 12 years and I've been to all these doctors and I've taken all these medications and I've gone through all these medical trials and I've done this and I've done that and I've tried all this stuff and nothing has worked. And then I heard about you, I heard about all the things you've been doing. I've heard about all the people you were healing. And I thought to myself, if I can just touch your clothes, I can be healed. See, here's the truth. There is a big difference between the touch of faith and the throng of desperation. You see, the moment crisis hits and is beyond your control, it can be very easy for us to slip into desperate moments. We think, well, if I just cry enough and I just shout enough and if I just roll around on the ground and if I just feel like I'm desperate enough, that somehow that level of desperation will get the Lord's attention. All these people, they are thronging, they are pressing, they are pushing, they are grabbing, they are pulling, they are shouting. All these people are doing all this stuff. Desperate to get the Lord's attention. But it was a touch of faith that pulled the miracle out of Jesus. I find that amazing. All these people are grabbing a hold of Jesus, pulling and tugging and begging and screaming, and Lord, just help me, help me, help me, help me. And yet none of that worked. This woman tells Jesus the whole story. What's Jesus' reaction? I think his reaction is kind of cool too. I think it's kind of strange. Now we've heard it so many times that we don't think of it as kind of weird or strange, but I think it is kind of strange. He says this in verse 34. It says, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now why I think it's kind of strange. Well, let me ask you this question. What healed this woman? Was it her faith or was it the power of Jesus? The answer is, of course, both, right? It would do you no injustice to say the power of Jesus healed that woman. Right? If Jesus was to turn around and say that lady, "Daughter, my power has healed you. My power has made you well." Right, he could have said that, and it would have been very true. But what I found so fascinating is that's not what he said. You see, because Jesus' power to heal wasn't the deciding factor in this healing. And remember, all these things that are in this book, they're all teaching moments, right? Right, this book, this is the inspired word of God. It causes us to prosper. It causes us to grow. When we're in this world where God opens up new things to us, it is inspired by God. And this is how we grow closer to God. And this is how we live the faith life. See, what I find so remarkable is that the power to heal, like the power of God to heal, was not the deciding factor. See, that God can heal and that it's God's will to heal is not the deciding factor here. See, here's the truth, that nobody here should have the first inkling of doubt that God can heal, right? Does anybody say, well, you know, God can't heal, right? We all should believe that God can heal. We all should believe that God wants to heal. Like, that should not be the issue. The issue of, well, is it God's will to heal? See, we don't have an example in Scripture that it's God's will for anyone to stay in their sickness. Right, we just don't have that. Anybody, you can look in the Bible. You don't have an example of God saying, you know what, it's just my will that you stay sick. Like, we don't have that example. Like, the leper comes to Jesus and says, "If you're willing, you can make me whole." And Jesus says, "I'm willing." See, but that's not the deciding factor. The deciding factor always seems to be our faith. See, here's the truth about faith. That God does not meet us at our point of need, but at our point of faith. Now listen, I'm not saying that God doesn't meet our needs. I'm saying he doesn't meet us at our point of need. He meets us at our point of faith. And some people hear that and they say, well, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. Why? Because I think it puts a little bit too much obligation on them. But I can prove to you that this is how God works. See, think about salvation. Everybody understands salvation. We all kind of have a little bit of understanding. See, I think salvation kind of clarifies things for us because we all have somewhat of an understanding of how salvation works. Right, if I was to say this statement to you that God is saving people today because they need to be saved, would that be an accurate statement? I would say that would not be a very accurate statement. Rather, it would be accurate to say because people need salvation and God loves them, God has provided a way by which everyone might be saved. But God does not save anybody simply because they need to be saved. Right, because for every unsaved person, the greatest need in their life is to be saved. But God doesn't save anybody simply because they need to be saved. But the moment they believe, it doesn't matter who they are, it doesn't matter what crimes they've committed, it doesn't matter how sinful they are, the moment they believe, the moment they say, Jesus, I believe, save me, at that very moment, they're saved. God meets them at their point of faith, not at their point of need. Do you understand that? See, Jesus is being thronged by all these people, right? All these people have all these needs. Did he meet all their needs? Well, to be honest, we don't really know. Right? We don't have an example in Scripture of Jesus having a personal encounter with somebody and turning them down. Like we don't have any examples of Jesus saying, you know what, I refuse to heal you. We do have examples of Jesus being kind of in the midst of great needs and not meeting all their needs. Think about the pool of Bethesda. Jesus comes in, there's a multiple of sick, and Jesus chooses only to heal one person. We do have that. But we don't really have an account of somebody coming to Jesus and saying, I need to be healed, and Jesus saying, no. See, the point is this. That Jesus meets us at our point of faith. See, this woman got healed, and she established the condition for her own healing. Jesus said so. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He said, you know, you believe that if you touch me, that you would be made whole. He said, you know what? You are right. He said, you pull the power right out of me. He says, now go in peace. Be healed of your disease. See, do you understand that God is continually trying to pull us up to a place of maturity where we're not infants that he has to wait on hand and foot? I mean, that's why he found this centurion so remarkable. This great faith that he had. That's why he found it so remarkable. And that's why he so commended the mega faith woman that we talked about last week. See, there was a maturity, there was a strength in those two people that God just loved. That God marveled at. That God was amazed at. I get the impression that Jesus was pretty pleased with this woman also. I get the impression she was pretty pleased. He was pretty pleased at the faith of this woman also. The faith that this woman took. And here's the final point, and we're going to close with this. That to grow in our faith, we must take the initiative. That you need to develop a confession. You need to find a promise in the Word of God. And you need to touch Jesus and say, I shall be made whole. He is going to meet my need. He is going to come through. And this morning, as we close, we're going to do this. We're going to have a time of prayer this morning. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you need a touch from the Lord. Maybe it's a physical touch. Maybe you need a physical healing to take place in your body. Maybe you need a financial miracle today. Maybe you're here today and you realize you're at the point in your life where you need to make a decision to get in the same game as Jesus. To make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. To stop playing games. To stop saying, well, I'm just going to waver back and forth. Maybe you're here today, and you need to stand in for someone else who can't be here today because they're sick and they need a healing. You need to stand in for them. Maybe you're here today, and your families are broken. And you need some sort of miracle to take place in that family dynamic. You need a child to come back to the Lord. You need a parent to come back to the Lord. You need your marriage to come back together, whatever it might be. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take the initiative this morning. I want you to take the initiative. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to come up front. And we are going to pray and believe with you together. We're going to have prayer warriors that are going to be up here, and we are going to pray and believe with you. Next week, we're going to continue on the story, and we're going to talk about what happens once they get into Jairus' house with his daughter. And one of the key points is that Jesus sent all these people who didn't believe outside the house, and he surrounded himself with people who believed together. And that's what we're going to do today. That's why I want you to come forward, because we are going to get around you, and we are going to believe with you together in faith that God is going to meet that need in your life. How many of you say, yeah, that's what I want? I want God to meet the need of my life. Look, I'm going to believe by faith that God is going to do something amazing. I'm going to stand on his word as my confession, and I'm going to believe that he is going to change my situation. See, I believe by us coming forward, that taking that initiative is just like this woman who comes forward and touches the hem of the garment. That as we come forward, it's symbolic of us coming forward and touching the hem of that garment. Saying, God, I need to be made whole this morning. If that's you this morning, I want you to come forward. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Come on, don't be afraid. Step out in faith. And believe. We can have some of our prayer warriors come forward also. Father, we love you, God. We believe that you are our healer. Lord, we believe that you hear our hearts, that you hear our needs, and we are standing in faith and believing together for you. Just do this morning. If you're up here, just begin to call out to the Lord this morning. Just begin to call out by faith. Begin to speak those words by faith. That God is going to hear those needs. Make that a confession to God. It's not about me praying for you. It's about you having that faith confession for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If we could have some of our prayer warriors, just start praying for these folks. Lord, we are believing. Lord, we are trusting in you. We are believing. Lord, we put our hope in you. Lord, we come out. Lord, our faith confession, Lord, we are touching you right now. We are touching the hem of your garment right now. And believing right now, Lord, that you are healing hearts. You are healing lives. Lord, you are strengthening bodies. Lord, you are restoring marriages. Lord, you are restoring relationships. Lord, you are touching people right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, take away all the brokenness. Take away all the hurt. Take away all the hurt. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we touch the hem of your garment this morning, and we believe that you are going to do something. God, we are touching you. Well, we are touching you this morning. Strengthen right now. Strengthen right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that let that be a confession from our own mouth. Lord, we speak faith, Lord. Lord, we know you are our healer, Lord, and we are determined, Lord, right now, you are going to heal us right now. Lord, we know that you break every stronghold. Father, I pray right now for just a release of every stronghold. Do me a favor. You're in the audience, reach your hands forward and just believe with us by faith. If you guys are ready to go, you guys can leave. But we want people in here who are going to believe that Jesus can do something amazing. All these people are up here, and they want God to do something amazing in life. They need God to do something amazing in life. And we are going to believe together for that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Touch, Lord, touch right now. Right now, Jesus. Right now, right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we put our faith and our trust and our hope in you. Lord, we are not going to give up. Lord, we are not going to stop speaking your word. Lord, we're not going to give up until we see, Lord, you touch a situation. Lord, we're not giving up, God. We are going to keep pressing in. We're going to keep pressing through, Lord. We're going to keep worshiping you. We're going to keep speaking your word. And we're going to keep trusting in you, Father, knowing that you will accomplish the greatest miracles in our lives. Lord, we need a miracle today. We need miracles today. Lord, we need you to transform lives. Lord, we pray for children that are far from you this morning. Lord, we pray for sons and daughters who are far from you this morning. Lord, they would come to you. Hey, do me a favor this morning. If you have a friend, a loved one, a family member, a son, a daughter, a mother, whoever is far from the Lord, do me a favor. This is what we're going to do. We are going to say their name out loud and confess their name before the Lord and believe that God is going to open their hearts and they are going to have an opportunity to receive Jesus. How many can believe together for that? Amen. Let's just begin to speak those names to the Lord. Lord, I confess, Lord, I give you my sister, Angela. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, her heart will be open to receive from you. Lord, I confess my mother, Leah, to you. God, I pray that her heart will be open, Lord, to receive from you. Lord, we want to see our friends, our families, our loved ones saved. Lord, your will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we are believing right now, and we're confessing their names before you right now, Lord, we are believing that you are going to do a miracle in their lives. Lord, you are going to touch them right now. Lord, you are going to do something amazing. Lord, that you are not finished with them. But Father, we are going to continue to believe that you are going to heal you. Lord, our faith confession is that you are going to, Lord, you are going to touch our family. Lord, you are going to touch our friends. Lord, I pray for my friend Brad and my friend Jessica who once had a strong relationship with you, but Lord, who are now far from you. God, I pray that you would restore that relationship. Lord, that they would bring them back to you. Lord, I pray for my father-in-law, Larry. Lord, that you would touch his life, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would draw him close to you. Lord, as he is surrounded by people who love you, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that confession will come into his own heart. Lord, that he will confess you as Lord and Savior this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe in salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We praise you this morning. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Well, you guys, we'll continue in prayer if you want to pray. You all are welcome to be dismissed this morning. We're not going to do a hard dismiss. You guys just are welcome to leave if you guys need to get out of here. But we love you. We want to continue to pray and believe with you all. If you guys need prayer this morning, stay up front. We have prayer warriors. We want to pray with you. If not, God bless you all. We love you all. Have a great, great, great afternoon.